title, based on a true story. The main street of a small American town looms up. Then the title, Girl in the Shed, The Kidnapping of Abby Hernandez. A white bungalow appears with a minivan parked out front. Two pumpkins sit on the front porch. It's October 9th, 2013. Inside, a clock radio chimes. A young brunette springs out of bed.
Mom, why didn't you wake me up?
She picks up a sweater from the floor, giving it a sniff test.
Ugh, I'm gonna be so late. I don't have any clean socks.
You know what? I asked you if you wanted me to wake you up, but you said, no, Mom, you're hovering. I'm 14 now. I'm not a baby. I can handle it on my own.
I can still hear you.
Any
clean socks? I'm gonna miss my bus. Did you do the laundry?
I suggest the next time you can't see the carpet in your bedroom, you do your own clothes.
Okay, well, a simple no would have been fine. Just bop these boots. I need socks.
Did you pack a lunch?
No, I didn't have time. I'm gonna miss the bus.
I love you. Wait. Oh, just hold on.
Mom, wearing hospital scrubs, rushes from the kitchen.
Your socks!
The girl rushes to the departing bus. Kids in the back laugh at her.
Wait. Wait.
The girl's mother, meanwhile, walks out of the house and gets in her van. Her daughter spins around as Mom drives down the road.
And there she goes. Great.
She reaches down to one of her boots.
Ow.
Before heading down the street.
Stupid boots.
Later, as she trudges up a hairpin turn in the road, a white BMW convertible pulls up beside her.
Abby? What are you doing?
Hey, Mr. Bryant. Late for school.
I'm going right past it.
She climbs in.
How's your dad? I haven't seen him in a while.
He lives in Connecticut.
Hitchhiking.
My friends and I do it sometimes.
Guess it's Conway, huh? Everybody knows everybody.
At school, Abby walks to the cafeteria with a friend.
Hey, Abby, so I was thinking maybe, hitting Fall Festival tonight. Don't know, like, everyone's going, so.
Oh, all the more reason not to.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Still could be fun, though, you know? Liz, too, obviously.
Brenda, Jacob's parents are out of town. Party tonight. And Neil's gonna be there.
Neil, by definition, is super hot, so... I'll have to check with my mom.
Just tell her you're going to the festival.
I'm not gonna lie to her. But then she'll say no. I'll ask.
Someone bumps into Abby.
Ow! What the hell, Miranda?
Stop talking to Darren.
A, I can talk to whoever I want. B, Darren's a jerk. You can have him. It's a perfect match.
They walk away from shocked Miranda.
Well played.
Later, Abby stands at her locker.
Hey, Abby, sweetie.
Mom?
Yeah, I was on my lunch break. How are your feet holding up?
They're killing me.
Mom holds up a sock.
Oh, thank you. This is really sweet.
I know. That's what moms are for.
I've got to go.
Okay, love you. See you after school.
As Abby scurries around the corner, her mom smiles to herself. Later...
Well, my parents are totally cool about it. And Tammy said she can pick you up.
Cool.
I'll text her when I get home.
Oh, I gotta go. I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Abby bolts for the exit.
Wait.
Just as the school bus pulls away. Later, raven-haired Abby walks along the road, her book bag slung on her back. She wears her long-sleeved sweater with horizontal multicolored stripes. As she tugs at her right boot once again, a small coupe pulls up. The driver, wearing a baseball cap, peers at her.
Looks like you could use a ride.
Yeah. New boots.
Hop on in.
Okay.
Abby opens the car door.
Oh, thank you.
Smiling, the man puts the car in gear.
What's your name?
Abby. You can drop me off at Grant's Grill. It's just a few miles. Do you know where that is?
I can't say that I do.
You've never been to Grant's Grill? It's a left at the next light there.
The man drives through the intersection.
It's left here?
Yeah, do you mind if I stop at the store real quick? Sorry, I just don't want to backtrack.
Okay.
pulling into a shopping mall, the man steers the car to the outer edge of the parking lot, far from other parked cars.
I appreciate it. I can walk from here.
The man locks the doors. As Abby pulls at the door latch, he slowly pulls out a Glock revolver, pointing it at her.
Hey, scream or try to get out again. I'll blow your brains out or slit your throat. Lean forward.
Abby holds her hands up.
Lean forward!
He slams her against the dash.
Keep your eyes closed.
Close your eyes.
He handcuffs her, putting his baseball cap on her head.
I promise not to see anything.
He starts the car. Moments later, as the man, in his 30s, drives down a back road, Abby looks down.
Why are you doing this?
I'm really sorry. I know that sounds insincere, but I am.
Please let me go. I promise I won't tell anyone.
Shut up! Damn it!
The man pulls over.
Where's your phone?
He smashes it on the dash. Then he produces a taser from the glove compartment.
I had to do this, so you know what happens if you don't obey.
Tossing the taser aside, the man puts the car into reverse. Backing out onto the roadway, he then slams the car into gear. A view from above shows only surrounding foothills and forests. The man pulls his car up a gravel road to a mobile home with white siding and green trim.
Come on.
Near surrounding trees lies a large metal shipping container. The man pulls Abby out of the car, pushing her across the gravel driveway towards the door. Peering from under the baseball cap, Abby surveys the kitchen floor. Abby tilts her eyes upwards. Grabbing something from a kitchen drawer, he pushes her into the bedroom, slamming her down on the mattress.
Don't open your eyes. Close your eyes. Close your eyes! Do not open them!
As Abby sits shaking on the bed, the man pulls out a roll of duct tape peeling off a strip. The man puts the tape over Abby's eyes.
If you scream or move, I'll blow your head off. Got it?
Reaching behind her, the man checks her handcuffs, then stands facing her.
Do what I want. I'll let you go.
He slams the door shut. Meanwhile, Abby's mom returns home, still wearing her blue hospital scrubs. Crossing the living room, she heads toward the kitchen.
Abby? Hey, honey, I'm home. Got your favorite bagels.
She walks into Abby's room.
Honey? Oh, what a mess.
She heads back to the kitchen, holding her phone.
Hey, it's Mom. Where are you? Do you have plans tonight, or am I going to be making dinner for two? Call me back, please.
Elsewhere, Abby lies strapped to the bed.
Please, God. I never call on you. Forgive me. But I know you're here, so please don't go. Please don't leave me alone. I can't be alone.
The man enters the room.
You don't need to pray, Abby.
He sits on the bed. Holding a black fabric band, he begins to pull it over her head.
So, I know this isn't a great situation, but I am going to figure out something more comfortable.
Why do I need something more comfortable if you're gonna let me go?
You should know that I'm really good with guns. I served in the army. Served in a lot of battles. Won a lot of medals. A lot of heroic stuff that I'll tell you about another time. You should also know that I belong to a militia. Old war buddies. And if you ever try to get away or turn me in, my friends will kill your entire family.
He gags her mouth with the fabric band. Back at home, Abby's mom is on the phone.
What time was that?
She was finishing up some work with a few of her friends. I'd say 10, 15 minutes. Then I saw her leave. A lot of the kids were talking about the festival.
Okay, thanks.
Let me know everything's okay.
I will.
She dials another number.
Hello?
Hey, Liz, it's Xenia. Is Abby with you?
No. We were supposed to get together, but she hasn't returned any of my messages. She's not home.
Did you see her get on the bus?
She missed the bus. She texted me and said she was walking home, even though her feet were killing her, but...
So she didn't go to the festival?
Not that I know of, but she wouldn't have gone without me. Why? What's wrong?
Nothing. Just tell her to call me if you talk to her, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thanks. Abby. There you are. You just don't have your keys. And you know what? You need to give me a call.
A woman enters with wine.
We're opening this right now. I know you had a day, but it got worse after you left. I swear, if they don't hire more staff, I'm ready to quit that place. What's wrong?
Abby didn't come home from school.
What?
Nobody's seen her. She's not answering her phone. She always calls me back.
Let's not panic. My son did the same thing a couple weeks ago. He was hanging out with some girl. His phone died, but he was fine.
I'm gonna drive her.
She's a teenage girl. I'm sure she's fine.
She was supposed to be home 3 hours ago. This isn't like her. I'm gonna...
Xenia!
Just call me if she comes home.
Moments later, Xenia drives her minivan down the road. Her face appears tense as she scans each side of the roadway ahead. Later, as she drives through town, she pulls up near a skate park where a policeman chats with two teenaged boys. Parking her car, Xenia approaches the policeman as he gets into his cruiser.
Excuse me?
What can I do for you, ma'am?
I'm looking for my daughter. She hasn't come home from school. She is 14 years old. She's not answering her phone, and her friends haven't seen her.
How long since she left school?
It's been about 4 hours. She was walking home. I was worried about any kind of accident, anything involving a 14-year-old girl.
Well, I haven't heard anything on the scanner, but I can put a bolo out for you. Be on the lookout.
Okay.
It's usually the first step. You happen to have a photo of her?
Oh, yes, right here.
Pulling one up on her phone, she hands it to the officer.
Perfect. Just give me a sec.
The officer picks up his radio.
Dispatch, this is Daniels.
Elsewhere, Xenia pulls up to a house, approaching a woman in the front yard.
Hey, Mary.
Oh, hi, Xenia.
Hi.
I've been meaning to call. Patty canceled for Saturday, so
I'm sorry, Mary. Have you seen Abby?
Abby? No.
Has there been anyone near the house?
Not that I saw. Is everything okay?
Abby just hasn't come home from school. Just let me know if you see her, all right?
Okay.
Sitting at home, Xenia glances at the clock. It's now 8:37. Her brunette co-worker brings over a glass of red wine.
That'd mean help.
Yeah.
They sit together on the couch.
I'm overreacting, right? I get like this. I get neurotic when things are just the slightest bit out of my control. Abby tells me that all the time. Oh, man, that cop must have thought I was crazy. How many kids... You know, teenagers, they don't come home from school right after school, right? I mean...
She's going to come through that door, apologize, and you're going to hug her. And then you're going to yell at her and tell her never to do something like this ever again, and everything will be back to normal.
Oh, she will be so grounded.
Xenia seizes her phone.
Liz!
Mrs. Hernandez?
Mm-hmm.
Abby still hasn't returned any of my calls, and it's going right to voicemail. We've all been texting her, but nobody's seen or heard from her. This isn't like her at all. I'm really worried.
Okay. Right.
A look of dread spreading across her face, Xenia looks at her friend.
Okay.
In a small room at the Carroll County Police Station, Xenia sits with two detectives.
Mrs. Hernandez, is there any reason Abby would have run away?
No. No. She's happy. We're happy. There's no issues.
You're divorced?
Yeah. Her dad lives out of state. I called him. He didn't answer. They have a good relationship. He wouldn't have taken her if that's where you're going next.
Look, Mrs. Hernandez, I know this is hard, but we see situations like this. There has never been a parent ever who thinks their child would run away.
Abby wouldn't have run away.
Is there anyone else in her life? Maybe somebody online? Anything that could explain why she hasn't come home?
No. Abby doesn't keep these kind of secrets from me, okay? She always calls me back. Something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong here.
Teenagers always have secrets. 90% of the time, we locate these kids within 2 weeks. Secretly in love, unable to deal with a bully at school.
It's her birthday in a few days, and I gave her some money to help her in the house. The money's still there. She would have taken that with her if she had run away. She would have packed some clothes. She would...
What is it?
Oh, my gosh. She has new boots. I brought her socks to school, but she said that her feet were still hurting her right now.
Has Abby ever hitchhiked?
No. I tell her not to. She knows not to, but her friends... Maybe her feet hurt.
Across the table, the two detectives whisper to each other.
Why didn't she call me?
Elsewhere, Abby's kidnapper inserts a tube into Abby's cloth-covered mouth. She is also strapped to the bed and blindfolded.
So I won't be here all the time, okay? If you get thirsty, just flick the toggle and it'll trickle water.
He flicks a toggle on a cable, inserting it into Abby's hand.
Look, Abby. You've been really calm, and I didn't expect that. But I think you figured out that I can't let you go.
Abby's chest begins to heave. He leans over her and nuzzles her cheek before kissing it softly. Standing up straight, the man moves towards the door. Then he pauses, looking back at the bed in the semi-darkness. He then leans over, cinching the strap around Abby, pinning her to the bed. Then he walks out. Abby writhes uselessly against the straps. The next day, the police and media crowd around Xenia's home.
14-year-old Abby Hernandez has been missing since walking home from high school yesterday afternoon. Local police are asking anyone who may have seen her or have any information on her whereabouts to call 911 immediately.
A police officer enters the house as an FBI agent walks into the kitchen. Xenia stands at the counter sorting through photos with Liz, her mom, and the female detective.
Use this one. The one they're using on the news is a couple years old. I don't even know where they got it, so that's a good one.
Okay. The male detective.
Ms. Hernandez, state police need an article of Abby's clothing that haven't been washed.
What for?
For the search dogs.
Xenia looks shocked as Liz's mom comforts her.
Right.
You said Abby received a text message just after you both left the school?
Liz glances at her mom.
It's okay.
Then turns to the detective.
Yeah, it was a little weird. She seemed kind of distracted by it.
Do you think she was meeting someone?
No, she would have told me. It might have been nothing, just something I remembered as odd.
We'll need authorization to receive a transcript of her text messages and emails.
Of course, anything. So, yeah,
Mary enters.
Mrs. Hernandez, I'm Agent Carrera.
Thank you for coming so quickly.
I know you've already answered a lot of our questions, but we'll need a statement from you as well.
Of course.
Have you gotten the cell tracking?
Movement speed. We're confident that she got into a car. Someone went dead on Pike Hill. We're concentrating our search there.
Okay, good. Social media?
We did a quick scan, but nothing out of the ordinary. We're gonna check other platforms.
Ex-husband.
Yeah, he's out of state, but he'll be here soon.
Local talk to him. He hasn't heard from Abby either, and we're confident that he's not involved.
Anyone else living in the house at this time?
Oh, no. It's just...
An officer walks by with one of Abby's shirts in a Ziploc bag. Covering her face, Xenia crumples into Mary's arms. A search begins. Outside the police station, the female detective addresses the media.
Abby Hernandez was last seen wearing a multicolored striped sweater, black leggings, and black boots. She was last seen leaving Kentwood High School on foot. Based on cell phone records, we believe she may have gotten into a car at Abbott Road, 3 miles south of Bassett Lane at 3:24 p.m. Her signal was lost at 3:42 p.m. near Pike Hill Road at mile marker 72. We're looking for anyone who may have been in that area. We're asking for volunteers to please hand out missing person signs in these neighborhoods. We're asking for local companies to please display these posters. If anyone has seen Abby Hernandez Please contact the police immediately. If anyone has any information that could lead to any insight on her disappearance, contact the police immediately.
As the detective steps away from the podium, Xenia steps up and looks out over the gathered media, Abby's schoolmates, and other citizens.
My daughter Abby is so kind. She is bright and has a beautiful smile. She is a wonderful writer. She loves to read and play chess.
It's her birthday in 2 days.
Abby's kidnapper watches the broadcast.
She is loved. She is needed. To whoever took her, please let her go. Please let her come home.
The man just stares at the screen.
Thank you.
So I'm going to be removing the tape from your eyes, but I can't let you see my face, Abby. So I'm going to be wearing a bit of a mask, you understand? This way, you won't remember what I look like. Okay. Okay. Here we go.
He pulls off her gag.
Okay. And there we go.
He peels away the duct tape over her eyes.
Okay.
Sitting up on the bed, Abby's eyes squint in the light.
Ta-da!
He wears a black Phantom of the Opera type mask.
I know. But you know what? It's almost Halloween, and when in Rome...
Leaning down, he puts a hand on Abby's shoulder.
Let me see. I thought that might happen. One sec.
Grabbing some lotion, he applies it to a scar around Abby's right eye.
Out. There we go.
He applies some under her left eye.
There. That should do it. You feel better?
She looks up at him.
Well, you could at least talk to me, Abby. I mean, I would have got a pet if I knew I was going to be doing all the talking. All right, just...
He starts pushing her back.
Okay. Stop, please. I'm sorry. What do you want to talk about? You said you were having a bad time at work. What happened?
I don't know. A lot of things.
Like what?
Am I supposed to believe that you actually care?
It must have been something terrible because you don't seem like a bad person.
Well, it's not just one thing.
He sits beside her on the bed.
It's a lot of things, you know? A lot of trouble at work with the guys.
Like what?
I don't know. People can be pretty mean, Abby. I don't even think they know my name. They judge me. I mean, I'm sure that you think I'm pretty mean after all this, but... Really, Abby, once you get to know me, you'll see that I'm not that way. I can be a good friend. I can love someone. And I can share things.
What about your militia friends?
They don't take me too seriously either. Abby, it's hard to find nice friends in this world. Thanks.
For what?
For listening.
He slides off the bed.
I have something for you.
As the man walks out of the room, Abby looks around, then pulls at the straps around her ankles. The kidnapper returns, holding a small collar.
So, Abby, I know that shock collars are really only for dogs. And I don't think of you that way. Honestly, I don't. But if we use this, you don't have to wear a gag in your mouth.
He sits on the bed.
Listen, this thing is really only activated if you stimulate the vocal cords.
He straps it around her neck.
As long as you don't scream or make a lot of loud noises, you shouldn't have a problem. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Getting up, the man heads for the door.
Wait.
He turns to face her.
Did I miss my birthday?
Abby, you didn't tell me you had a birthday.
It's on October 12th. I don't know what day it is. I don't know how long I've been here.
Your birthday happened last weekend.
Maintaining her composure, Abby nods as the man leaves the room. Abby reaches behind her neck, pulling at the padlock holding the collar closed. The man then reappears at the door, holding news clippings.
You sure are loved by a lot of people. It's all over the news. Whole county is looking high and low.
He sits, showing her the clippings.
I feel bad for him, though. I mean, they don't realize that I took you to a different state. I mean, they are looking in all the wrong places. Did you know there's a guy out there who actually thinks that you were abducted by aliens? I mean, how nuts is that? Don't get me wrong. I know that aliens exist. They do, and they're real, and they're out there. But they still have hope.
Abby looks at one clipping, showing her mom holding a missing poster.
You can keep those. I'll be back. I'm going to go make us some mac and cheese.
As the man rises off the bed, Abby's lip trembles almost imperceptibly. The man closes the door behind him. Her hands shaking, Abby begins to sob. On the other side of the door, the kidnapper sits, listening. Clutching the newspapers, Abby weeps. The man sits looking at a prostitution website on his laptop. Suddenly, he slams the laptop closed. Elsewhere, a young girl standing with Xenia and others from the community sings at a vigil outside the police station. Viewed from behind, standing amongst the crowd, stands a man in his 30s, wearing a baseball cap. On another day, kids play soccer next door to the kidnapper's mobile trailer. Text appearing says, November, 32 days. Inside...
It's physics, Abby. It's all physics. Metal can't burn at that temperature from jet fuel. And the pancake effect only works if equal detonations are on all sides of the tower. And no one has yet to explain Tower 7. I mean, the videos do not lie. Anyway, this room is only temporary for now. I got something better in mind, but it's not ready yet.
It's really nice of you.
Unless, of course, you want to stay strapped to the bed.
No, I don't want to stay on the bed.
I didn't think so. You've been very good, Abby. That's why you're being rewarded. What's the matter? You didn't like your hot dog?
Really good. I'm just not that hungry.
He flings the plate against the wall.
You don't eat the dinner. You're not getting any dessert. Just forget it. Come on, take a look.
The man dons his mask as Abby, now unrestrained but still blindfolded with a sleep mask, stands up.
Okay.
He leads her across the room to a doorway.
Well?
He slides off her sleep mask.
There it is.
Abby stares into the closet.
Take a look. Go on. I know it's not very big, but now you don't have to stay tied down on the bed.
He begins to close the door.
Can I ask you a question?
He pauses.
Of course.
You said at work nobody knows your name. What is it?
I can't tell you that, Abby. Otherwise, I'd never be able to let you go.
But how can we be friends if I don't know your name?
After all this, you want to be my friend?
I mean, you'd be the only one I have at the moment.
Why don't you just call me Master? Just kidding, how creepy would that be? Let's make one up. I have a feeling I'm starting to know how your mind works, Abby. So why don't you tell me what name's on your mind?
You'll think it's weird.
Try me.
Felix.
Felix? Huh. Why Felix?
It sounds smart. Sophisticated.
You think I'm smart?
Abby nods.
And it feels like the name of someone who's nice.
Well, I like that very much.
Stepping forward, the man reaches out and touches her lips and chin.
I want to be nice to you.
He slowly closes the door. Elsewhere, in her house, Xenia walks across the floor, clutching a stuffed animal. She pauses as her eyes land on Abby's bedroom door, just across the living room. Standing at the threshold of the room, she holds the stuffed toy close, her eyes puffy from tears.
I'm looking for you. Don't you give up, okay? Because I am going to find you. I promise.
Leaning against the doorframe, Xenia rests her head in her hands. At the police station.
A lie detector test? Do you really think I did something to Abby?
This is a multi-agency investigation.
It's bullshit! She has been gone for a month! What is it that you said to me, Detective Dunlap? 90% of the time when we find these kids, we find them within 2 weeks? Well, it's been four. Where the hell is she?
I wish she was a runaway, Mrs. Hernandez, because by now, chances are we would have found her.
Then why isn't the FBI convinced that she was abducted?
They have to keep all possibilities open. So they do their job.
Oh, really? Well, if they were any good at their job, my daughter would be home.
Whoever took her is very smart. The FBI, the state police are just as frustrated as we are, so bear with them. Cooperate. We need them on our side.
Wearing scrubs, Xenia walks down a hallway with her coworker at the hospital.
Do they really think you're going to fail a lie detector test?
I don't know. I swear sometimes I think that's what they want. I mean, not the police, the FBI. Some of them they're so great and they're so determined to find her, and then there's others that they just want any kind of answer.
So they can cover their ass for not being able to find her.
You know, Tess, I was horrified at the idea that she would have run away or was meeting someone online, that she got pregnant, and now I wish to God that that was the case, so that at least I would know that she was alive.
We're doing everything we can. We're going to find her. She's going to come home.
We are going to find her, right?
Tess nods. Elsewhere, Abby's kidnapper, Felix, drives along a roadway. Slowing, he looks out the window as he passes the police station. His eyes go wide as a large poster looms on his left. It reads, "Missing, Abigail Hernandez, missing since October 9th, along with a phone number to call with information. Later, Felix is at work on a lunch break, talking to a coworker.
Then how do you explain the missing airplane if it was a miss?
It's being held.
And all the passengers. 15 years later.
It's deeper than you could possibly imagine. Every president knows about it.
What about the messages the passengers left when they're about to hit the Pentagon?
Those were faked.
Get out of here. My uncle died on 9/11.
The co-worker walks into the machine shop office to speak to an older man.
I can't work around him anymore. He's nuts. I'm done.
As the co-worker walks away, the boss shouts,
"Hey!"
Felix crosses the machine shop floor, entering the office.
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, hey, listen, you're a good worker. I like having you on the floor, but you gotta stop with some of this conspiracy crap.
What are you talking about? I'm just having a conversation.
9/11, flat earth aliens, just keep it outside the workplace, okay? Some of the guys are getting tired of hearing it in the lunchroom.
Truth isn't a conspiracy.
Just turn it down a notch, okay?
Felix walks out of the office, pausing to gaze at one of Abby's missing posters hung up outside. Meanwhile, Abby sits on a blanket in the darkness of her closet. She pulls up the chain, which attaches her ankle to a handrail on the wall. It doesn't give. Light shines into the closet.
You should see the new billboard.
Felix removes Abby's collar.
It's a nice photo of you. Missing person signs everywhere. The problem is, Abby, is that they're all new. They haven't stopped looking for you. And we need them to stop looking.
He applies cream to sores on her neck.
So, what I want you to do is write a letter to your mom. Tell her that you're okay and you're sorry for running away. I think that'll make her happy, you know? I mean, let's be honest. At this point, she doesn't even know if you're still alive.
He tosses a pad and paper onto the kitchen table, then dons his black mask as he removes Abby's sleep mask.
Okay.
Abby's eyes flutter as she adjusts to the light.
Well, go ahead. Oh, and Abby, I'm gonna read every word of that letter.
Felix turns his back and stands at the counter. Using the pen with its cover still on, Abby scrapes the mostly invisible word, help, into the paper.
I mean, I am taking kind of a risk here, you know? They are gonna look at that letter under a total microscope.
Now, Abby writes with ink.
But if they don't stop looking, I can't give you any more freedoms. And I want to.
Felix applies glue to each of his fingertips before returning to the table.
Okay, let's see. Come on.
He examines Abby's page-long letter to her mother.
That's really good. You have a way with words, Abby.
He places a hand on her shoulder before taking her letter. He then walks over to his computer table, folds the letter, and tucks it into an envelope. Later, Felix taps his fingers on the steering wheel as he drives in his car. Felix's face goes cold as he spots flashing red and blue lights in his rearview mirror. Now pulled over, Felix watches the police car speed away. Swallowing hard as he regains composure, he drives the car forward a few feet before stopping once again. He glances over at Abby's letter lying on the passenger seat. Opening the envelope addressed to Xenia, he examines the text in Abby's letter, holding it up to the sunlight. His face falls as he now sees Abby's secret message scrawled into the paper amongst the visible text of the letter. Impulsively, he crumples the sheet in his hands before speeding down the road. Moments later, Felix, wearing his mask, drags Abby out of her closet.
Abby! What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
He tosses her onto the bed as Abby clutches at her collar. Felix rams the taser into the bottom of her foot.
And again!
Abby writhes in pain.
See what you made me do!
I made another one, just like you said, do.
Abby, listen to me. I have already been in prison. I am never going back. Do you understand? Do you have any idea what it's like over there? It feels like shooting a bullet to my head. Is that what you want?
No, wait, I got it.
Felix rushes from the room. Returning, he clutches his Glock revolver.
You want me dead? Hey, listen. If you rat me out, Abby, it's like killing me. Do you understand?
He forces the gun into her hands.
You've got one chance. You better do this now. I'm serious, Abby. It's now or never, Abby. You've got 5 seconds. No, 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 no. You've got 3 seconds.
He presses the gun to his head.
1 second, Abby. Do it!
Abby crumples. Felix's chest heaves as he presses his head against hers. He then stands up and, grabbing her by the neck, he drags her back to the closet.
Hey, never again.
He pushes her in.
Oh, wait!
Her back to the wall, Abby slumps to her knees, her hands gripping the handrail on the wall. Text, December, 65 days. At home, Xenia sits on a stair leading to the kitchen as she picks up her phone.
Hi.
How you holding up, Xenia?
I don't know. I slept some last night, so I guess that's something. How are you?
They accepted our case through another outreach program. It's international. Sometimes the kids are taken overseas.
I've already been in touch with them.
This is a different organization. I don't think it's going to hurt us to have as much help getting our daughter back as we can, do you?
No, no, I know. You're right. I'm tired.
I'm doing everything I can to, you know.
I know you are. I'm so angry, and I feel so useless, and I...
Sorting through some mail, Xenia stares at an envelope.
Oh, my God.
Tossing the phone aside, she opens the letter. As she scans the page, Xenia clamps a hand over her mouth. Later, she's at the police station with the two detectives and Detective Carrera.
This one is not a hoax. But her writing style is different. She writes more lyrical than this.
Dear Mom, first of all, I want you to know that I'm okay. I'm doing fine and I'm healthy. I know this has probably been scary and hard on you and Dad as well. I miss all of you terribly, my friends and even school. I'm so sorry. I can't tell you where I am, but I will soon, I promise. Nor can I tell you why. Not yet. Please know I love you and I'll see you again.
Someone made her write that.
More than likely, yes, but there's no way to be sure.
What? I'm sorry. Are we back to her being a runaway again? Is that what you're saying to me?
Mrs. Hernandez, we can show you a dozen cases where a child would just disappear.
Why? Please tell me why she would run away.
Pregnant, tension, bullying. I've got a long list.
No. We've been through this. I know what I think it is. It's that you don't want to accept the truth that my daughter was kidnapped because you are not any good at doing what you do.
Xenia.
What?
Please.
It's okay. It's been 2 months, and her face has been seen all over the country. And this is the only lead that we have. We're doing our very best, Mrs. Hernandez. But you need to prepare yourself for a different truth based on the leads that we get.
Okay. What about a press conference? Just to let people know that she's still alive, it would keep her in the news?
That's not a good idea. If we go public that we received a letter, it could actually hinder our investigation. At least not until we've exhausted all efforts to trace its origin.
She's right.
So that's just it?
Don't misunderstand me, Mr. Hernandez. We won't stop looking for her. This case keeps me up at night. 14-year-old girls don't just disappear without a trace.
Oh, no, they don't.
There's always something. We can only work with what we have. I'm sorry.
Elsewhere.
Remember, I told you that I was working on something else?
Felix leads Abby outside.
Okay, stay here. I think you're really gonna like this.
Felix leads her inside the shipping container. Abby stares at the floor where there is worn carpet.
Well, it's not the Taj Mahal, but you'll have more room in here.
I've lined it with 3-inch foam, so no one's going to be able to hear you. And you still have to wear the shock collar. Can't be too careful. But, Abby, I did put a hose in here, so you'll have some fresh air.
This is really great, Felix. Thank you.
You're not just saying that?
No, I really mean it.
Yeah, well, we'll do some more things in here that'll make it feel like home. As you can see, I got you some books. I heard your mom say in a news conference that you're an avid reader.
I am, yeah.
I didn't know what you liked, so I just got the classics.
Thank you so much.
And clothes.
These are interesting.
World War I long johns. Someone was selling them at a garage sale.
What about shoes?
No shoes. Not yet.
Abby nods.
Really sweet to have done this, thank you.
Reaching out, she wraps her arms around him.
Thank you. I needed that today.
Abby glances up at a security camera in the corner. She suppresses a sob. Elsewhere, after parking her van outside the house, Xenia looks out at a neighbor's home, decorated with lights for the holidays. Inside, she lights a menorah. All of its branches glow with lit candles. Text, December 24th, 77 days. It's nighttime as Xenia stands with Liz and Tess at the kitchen island, looking at a map of the county.
These are the residential stickers. They're from the FBI. They get mailed out in bulk from the post office. They said that the letter was sent from about 50 miles away, but, you know, they also said that whoever sent it could have driven that far to mail it, so...
But in what direction?
Yeah.
Tess asks Liz.
Who else do we have?
We're recruiting some other students, and we have a ton of volunteers.
Did you know that the billboard was paid for by a local restaurant in town? Let's be sure to give them a shout out at the next press conference, okay?
Press conference? What press conference? It's like pulling teeth to get any kind of attention these days, so.
Liz and Tess share a solemn look.
Oh my God. You know, it's possible. It's possible that this was written in the first few days and they just mailed it to me now.
Don't go there. She's alive. The letter proves that.
Yeah.
Sometime later, Xenia slowly enters Abby's bedroom carrying a laundry basket. Leaning over, she begins collecting Abby's clothes off the floor. Fighting back tears, she folds one of Abby's hoodies. Clutching it in her arms, she holds it to her face and inhales deeply before tossing it on the bed. Moving to the bedside table, she finds a greeting card. The front reads, "You're a great mom." Inside, it says, "Happy 40th birthday, Mom." At the bottom, Abby has signed it, "I love you, Mom." Xenia collapses onto the bed. Meanwhile, Abby sits at the kitchen table with Felix.
Listen, I know I didn't really decorate much, but I did get you something.
Reaching down, Felix produces a gift-wrapped box.
Ta-da! Merry Christmas. That's okay, I know you didn't have time to shop for me.
She unwraps it. It's an 80s vintage hardcover cookbook called Cooking Home Classics.
It's a cookbook. Because you said you don't know how to cook. How are you ever going to get a man if you don't know how to cook a meal?
Really thoughtful, Felix. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we could learn together. Some good recipes. I thought you could cook, I could cook, we could do it together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I really, really like it.
As Felix's attention turns to his dinner, Abby idly flips through the yellowed cookbook. As she turns to the inside of the front flap, she spots a name written on the top corner. Anne Kibbe. As Felix looks up, Abby offers a conciliatory smile, picking aimlessly at her food with a fork. Elsewhere, Xenia charges into Carroll County Police Station.
Hey! Hey! Who did it?
I know,
who
Xenia,
leaked the letter?
We don't know.
Who leaked it?
We will find the leak and we will stop it.
My phone is blowing up. I don't even know these people.
I know.
Do you know what they're saying on social media? They're saying that she got pregnant, and that's why she ran away.
I know. We will get to the bottom of it.
They're saying horrible things about her!
And we will continue to assert our belief that she was abducted.
And you really think that's going to change their minds after all this?
The full contents of the letter now leaked to the public, verifying earlier reports that Abby Hernandez has apologized to her mother for running away.
Felix watches the TV.
That Abby's abductor could have forced her to write the letter to hinder their search. But that, of course, assumes that she was abducted at all.
Reporters meet Xenia at home.
Xenia, will you repay the city of Common for the cost of their investigation?
No comment.
Did Abby have a secret boyfriend?
How long have you
Next
known
door, the host? Mary frowns.
There's nothing more that I can say. I'm sorry. Just leave us alone. Stop it.
Her back to the door, Xenia pulls out her phone.
This is Xenia.
Do you have any idea how much time and effort my family and I spent looking for your daughter? I hope you both rot in hell.
Xenia drops her phone.
Just leave us alone. It's been a while. I'm sorry for that. But I know you're with me.
Kneeling by her bed, Abby prays.
Because I wouldn't have survived this long without you. It's just the two of us. So please don't leave me. Please don't forget about my mom.
Text, January, 102 days. Abby quickly tucks the newspaper clipping with her mom's photo under her mattress as Felix enters, holding a gift-wrapped package.
I always felt bad that I missed your birthday.
He hands over the gift.
I heard you're a great chess player.
I'm okay.
You're being modest, Abby. That's a good quality. Don't lose that.
Felix sits as she unwraps the chess kit, They begin setting it up on the mattress.
I bet you were one of the most popular girls in high school, huh?
Not even. I don't have any friends either. They're misfits.
They place the pieces on the board.
What about you? Were you one of the cool kids?
Actually, I was bullied a lot in high school. I got arrested once after I made a bomb threat.
Abby makes the first move. Felix counters as the game begins. Felix moves a piece, hovering over a square on the outer edge of the board.
You sure you want to do that?
What?
I'm just saying.
You're trying to psych me out, Abby.
Go for it.
He plunks the piece down, and Abby takes it off the board.
I knew you were smart. Abby, I'm telling you, you are going to be the CEO of a company.
Yeah, right.
Well, what do you want to do?
You'll laugh.
I wouldn't ever laugh at you.
I want to be a hairdresser.
Seriously?
See?
No. I'm not laughing. I'm just surprised.
I think it'd be really fun making people look their best. What do you do?
It's nothing that special. It just pays the bills, you know? I want to start my own publication. You think I'm being funny?
No. I'm sorry. It's just, it's hard to take you seriously with you wearing that mask.
I know. It's so silly, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I want to take it off. I want to show you who I am. But I'm protecting you.
So that you can let me go.
I hope so. Soon.
You keep saying that. It's been 3 months.
I know. And I know that you're hurting.
He moves closer as Abby turns away, folding her knees to her chest.
You don't know the hardest part, though, do you? When I saw my mom at school that morning, she said, "I love you." I didn't say it back. I was embarrassed for some stupid reason. I felt bad. But it didn't matter. Because I would see her when I got home from school. And I would tell her that I loved her then.
Abby, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
Felix takes Abby into his arms and holds her close. In the morning, Abby sits on the end of the bed, staring down. Next to her, Felix lies sleeping, his mask lying on the floor. Felix stirs. Spotting the mask, he leaps up and puts it back on.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it matters. You've seen my face. How can I let you go now?
I want to be able to see your face.
But you can't.
I already have.
Stepping forward, Abby gently lifts the mask off his face.
See, isn't that more comfortable?
Abby offers her hand, and Felix takes it. Later, Felix leads Abby into the trailer.
From now on, when I'm here with you, no more blindfolds. No more being tied to the bed, no closet. We can do things together. We can watch TV, cook.
I'd really, really like that.
Felix reaches for Abby's shoulder.
I can't take the collar off you yet. You understand why, don't you?
Elsewhere, Zenya meets with her rabbi.
I can't seem to get it out of my head that she might not be coming home. I know in my heart that he made her write that letter. Which means that she was taken. Which means she might be dead.
You've been so active. The moment you slow down, it's inevitable to lose hope. Get buried in guilt. But God has given you strength for this, Zenya, so that you will not give up. So that you will not stop until just one person, perhaps the man who took her, hears your voice and makes the difference in bringing her home.
I don't understand. If he's given me such strength, then why is he so silent?
The rabbi reaches for a missing poster.
I was at a local mosque. I had a meeting with the imam. This was there.
Abby's picture.
Several of them. He told me a delivery boy translated them and passed them out to mosques throughout New England. Father Reynolds just yesterday reminded me that all the local churches are still praying for Abby every Sunday. Ignore the media. Ignore the chatter. God isn't listening to them. He's listening to our prayers. We have not given up on Abby. Neither has he.
Back in the trailer, Abby stirs pancake batter, spilling some on Felix.
Whoa. Sorry. Abby. Sorry. No. Come here.
He chases her out of the kitchen.
No. You're not getting away that quickly. Come here.
Grabbing her, he smears batter on her cheeks.
Oh, let me see. Pancakes.
Taking her in his arms, Felix begins waltzing around the living room with Abby. As they slowly spin around the room, Abby steals glances over Felix's shoulder, spotting a padlock on the door, a rifle mounted on the wall, knives on the kitchen counter, and his computer desk.
Will you take me away?
What do you mean?
Somewhere where no one will see us, of course. Where I can be outside.
Abby looks into his eyes imploringly.
Nothing's ever good enough for you.
Felix leaves her, walking through the kitchen to his bedroom. Darkness falls. Abby lies sleeping. A scene in black and white plays. Abby walks from her bedroom to the front door, checking the locked padlock. She's alone. Searching through a kitchen drawer, she discovers the key, opens the padlock, and pushes the door open. The room is bathed in light. As Abby continues dreaming, she walks through the forest. Someone wearing boots and carrying a rifle follows her. It's Felix. Abby emerges from the forest, returning to Felix's trailer. Suddenly, she sees her mother, Liz, and her other friend from school standing in the yard. As she begins to sob, Felix appears behind her, lifting his rifle. Abby lurches forward, then looks down at herself. She's unharmed. Abby awakes with a start. Felix lies cuddled up, sleeping soundly beside her. Facing away from him, Abby instinctively brings her hands to her chest. March, 151 days. Abby trims dried marijuana.
Normally I like to wash these in the tub, but these are already clean. Mm-hmm. A guy I know brings these up for me. That's good. So you just cut a little piece like that. That's good. Mm-hmm. You see how it crumbles?
Mm-hmm.
And then we just put a little bit into the baggie. Yeah, 2 or 3 grams. And voila, ready for sale.
Abby continues trimming the dried marijuana.
You seriously never smoked weed before?
No.
It'll make you feel good. You know, you had one of your dreams last night.
It was different. I couldn't see any other faces. I'm forgetting what they look like.
Felix stands up.
I have this recurring dream, too. Have I ever told you? It's not always the same, either. See, sometimes it's a shark.
Sometime later, Felix sells some marijuana to 3 teenagers in a park. Returning to his car, he opens the driver's side door. Settling into the driver's seat, he glances in the rearview mirror. As he begins backing up, Felix does another shoulder check.
Damn it!
A woman jumps out of a van.
What the hell are you doing, you idiot? You blind?
I looked. Did you have to drive right through here?
The hell you did? Look at my car!
It was already dented.
You just hit it.
No. There are dents all over the place.
I'm calling the police.
Felix slaps her phone away. She pushes him back. Then Felix pushes her off the hood of her van. She falls to the ground, clutching her knee.
Oh, give me a break.
At the police station, Officer Daniels says...
And also see you met Dottie Brown.
We deal with her a lot. Every week she's filing a lawsuit against the cops, the city, or anyone else who crosses her path, really. It's her word against yours, so I don't expect this to go too far.
Thank you. And I'm fully past those things on my record, officer. I have no wish to quarrel with the law anymore.
Well, that's good to hear. Now, says you've got a few firearms?
I do. Legal.
Oh, I understand that, but due to the terms of your previous release, we have to confiscate them. Just until all this clears up officially. She's filed assault charges, so...
She's lying.
Well, it's just temporary. You can hand over the guns voluntarily, or we can send an officer to the house with a search warrant. Your call.
Yeah, of course. I'll fully cooperate.
I appreciate that. Makes my job easier.
Back at home, Abby sits making notes with beauty magazines spread out before her. Felix pulls up and bursts through the door. He begins collecting up his various guns, pulling one out of a closet. As he scurries around the house, Officer Daniels pulls up with another officer. Felix begins lining up his rifles on the porch as Daniels' partner asks,
"You okay with this guy?"
"Yeah, he's harmless enough."
Meanwhile, Abby puts her ear to the container's door.
"Just don't mention the earth being around. You should be all right."
Felix comes out with more guns as the officers get out of the car. Daniels approaches Felix, offering a friendly smile.
"Howdy."
"So that's the last of them."
"All right.
When do I get the guns back?"
"Well, assuming the charges are dropped, shouldn't be more than a couple days."
Abby breathlessly presses her ear to the container door. Outside, Felix hands his six rifles over to the officers. Carrying two of the guns, Daniel's partner walks around to the side of the house, scanning the property and eyeing the shipping container. Inside, Abby jiggles the doorknob and latch. Daniels places two of the guns in the trunk, asking Felix,
"Is that a Kalashnikov?"
"Genuine at that."
Abby keeps listening.
"That is a hell of a piece. I'm gonna collect it myself, so don't worry. I'll make sure these are well taken care of."
"I appreciate that, officer."
Daniel's partner hands over his two rifles, which also get loaded into the trunk. Daniels then closes it.
"Well, all right, that should just about do it.
Sorry to put you in this position, officers."
Appreciate your cooperation. Have a good day."
In the container, Abby leans her head against the metal door. As Felix watches from his porch, the two officers pull away. Abby backs away from the door as Felix opens it, then leads her outside.
"They didn't take all the guns, did they?"
Tucking his revolver into his waist, Felix leads Abby, blindfolded.
"What did I do?"
"Just keep your head down outside."
Moments later, they're driving. Abby, still wearing her night mask, rests her head on the open window with a blissful look on her face. Looking over from the driver's seat, Felix smiles. Arriving outside a fence in the country, Felix pulls over. As Abby stands facing the fence, Felix quickly removes her collar and night mask. Abby's tired eyes are slow to open as she adjusts to the unfamiliar brightness. Her solemn expression quickly melts away as she takes in the expansive farm landscape before her. Approaching the metal gate, there is a horse on the other side, grazing. The horse, with its caramel-colored coat and white mane, moves closer. Abby reaches between the gate's bars and gently caresses the horse's forehead. A huge smile warms her face. She then retreats as the horse moves back into the pasture. Whispering, "Thank you," Abby looks at Felix before falling into his arms.
"Abby, I really enjoy doing these things. One day, when they stop looking for you, you can do a whole lot more."
Abby nods, her smile now forced, as Felix pulls her close. Text, You've April, 183 days. Abby enjoys a shower. Earth
hypothesis. Ships disappearing beyond the horizon. Satellites circling the Earth. People believe that because they're lazy. You've never studied the azimuthal equidistant projection. It's all mathematical. 50 kilometers from zero latitude longitude at 28 degrees minus pi equals distance.
A towel appears through the curtain.
2 minutes, that's the rule.
Abby takes the towel. Later, she sits on the couch as Felix walks through the kitchen.
And I had to drive quite a ways, but it was worth it. Tonight, Abby, we dine like kings.
He places a shopping bag on the coffee table. Abby takes a block of cheese from the bag and sniffs it.
Reject pile.
Don't be so hard on the rejects. That's us.
I never said I was a reject. I said I was a misfit.
What's the difference?
A reject is a label that someone else gives you, and misfit you wear with pride.
You know, you have a way with words. I'm serious. Like your essay about your trip to San Francisco. How you talked about the prisoners at Alcatraz. Most people wouldn't have empathy for them. Especially at your age.
It just seemed like a sad place. I know those people did bad things and they deserve to be there, but it doesn't make it any less sad that someone's life leads to that.
That's because you're a kind person. And you're the smartest person I know.
Trust me, I know smarter people.
Walking into the kitchen, she tosses the cheese into the trash. Looking out the window, she spots purple flowers blooming next to the shipping container.
Felix?
Yeah.
He joins her at the window.
Pick that flower for me.
A smile grows on Felix's face as he opens the door. Abby rushes into the kitchen, rummaging through the drawer. Suddenly, she spots a large knife lying on the counter. Felix walks back inside. He finds Abby standing frozen in the living room. Walking over, he produces a small flower, holding it out for her.
My lady.
Abby stands with her hands behind her back. As she slowly reveals them, they're empty. She then reaches for the flower.
Thank you.
As she sniffs it, Felix moves closer.
I'm just gonna go put it in water.
Abby rushes to the kitchen. The knife remains untouched on the counter. Elsewhere, Xenia unlocks a mailbox. Pulling out envelopes, she sifts through them. One is a threatening-sounding postcard, which she tosses to the side. She desperately examines the rest of her mail. Elsewhere at work, Felix enters the machine shop.
Oh, hey, a word.
Hey, boss.
Hey, look, I'm sorry to do this, but the company's cutting back, and I'm afraid we have to let you go.
I'm getting fired?
I'm afraid so.
So, serving your country doesn't count for anything anymore, huh?
I feel bad about
that. No, you don't. We both know what this is about.
I'm getting canned because I speak the truth.
It has nothing to do with that. Company's bleeding money, okay? Two other guys are going down with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right.
Felix tosses his hard hat.
Hey, what unit did you serve in anyway? Huh? It was all BS, wasn't it? You were never in the army. You were never awarded any medals.
What did I tell
you? At home.
Someone was listening, Abby. Someone outside the company. And when you speak the truth, you get screwed. No, I have an idea for what we can do to make some money. But it's a little outside the box. I'm gonna need your help, all right? I'm gonna need your help because you're artistic and smart. And you're gonna help me.
Help you with what?
Later.
You're seriously going to print money?
We are going to print money. First, we just have to find an image on the internet. Scanners won't copy currency. I think I found 100 that'll work. Take a look.
Abby sits down at his laptop.
There. What do you think?
I don't think the resolution's high enough.
I don't know how these things work. Find another image that'll work.
Sitting at the kitchen table, Abby does a new search.
Come on.
I think this one might be all right.
Okay, that's good. Save it and print it.
Okay.
But wait, before you do that, increase the saturation.
Using a photo editor, Abby adjusts the image file.
It's probably too bright. Something like that?
Yeah. All right, save it and print it.
Abby hits enter, and the color printer spits out the image of the $100 bill.
No, that's too dark. Try again.
Work continues.
I think a lot about people who say money isn't everything. You know who those people are, Abby? People who have money. And why is the government the only one allowed to print it? To control us?
We are helping the economy by spending this money. I understand if it were billions or even millions. I mean, we were helping devalue currency, but this is nothing. This won't even make a dent. To them, this is nothing, absolutely nothing. But for us, this is everything. So we're actually doing the right thing because we are putting all this money back into circulation.
I mean, what's the difference between this and someone getting something free from the government for doing nothing? At least we're working for it. Am I being fair? Am I crazy? Right?
Well, here you go, ma'am. I'm paying cash today.
One of their counterfeit bills.
I mean, can you tell the difference?
No, it looks really, really good.
As Abby sweeps the bills across the counter, some fall on the floor along with a ruler and felt pen. Dropping to her knees, Abby begins collecting up the counterfeit bills and pen. Felix looks over momentarily, then continues stacking and bundling up the bills. Abby silently whisks up the ruler, tucking it beside her as she walks towards the kitchen. On the counter lies the open cookbook. Abby compares names. N. Kibbe in the cookbook, Nate K. on the ruler. Her kidnapper walks up behind her.
Now you know my name. What are we gonna do, Abby? You're gonna tell people who I am.
I won't.
I don't believe you.
Why don't you believe me?
Because you hate me for what I did.
Stop. I don't hate you. Whether you believe it or not, I don't. It's weird, but we have stuff in common. And yes, I am mad that you took me. And yes, I want to go home. And yes, I want to see my family. But I trust you. And now you need to trust me. I no longer have to call you a stupid name. Like Felix.
You told me Felix sounded smart.
But not as smart as Nate.
I don't like Nate. People call me Kibbe.
Okay then. Kibbe. We have a lot of work to do.
Turning back to the computer table, Abby begins collecting up the bills. Text, May, 215 days. In a local park, Xenia meets with the female detective.
Thank you. So,
the detective takes her coffee.
We had a morning brief with the FBI this past week. They're still on the case, Xenia, but as you can imagine, their resources have been limited.
And Detective Jacobs?
Just me.
All right. I put a post out on our page looking for volunteers to distribute flyers. I got 3 responses. And why was the billboard taken down?
That was paid for by a local company. They made that decision.
We've been trying to raise more money. I've talked to the reporters, but they have either made up their minds or lost interest.
Xenia, it's important that you keep your story alive. But you can't keep knocking on doors of people who've already been vetted.
I will knock on every door in New England if I have to.
We're getting complaints.
Really?
You yelled at a business owner because he wouldn't put up a new poster?
I asked him to put it up outside. Why would he say no to that?
That's his choice.
I mean, if I don't keep fighting, I'm just gonna lie down on my couch and die. I don't care who I offend. And causing a little ruckus now and again, it might be the only thing that keeps her name in the news.
Well, you can't just react emotionally.
Would you treat it any differently if it were your daughter?
The detective's face softens. In a moment, Xenia addresses the press outside the police station.
Then help me keep her story alive. More than 7 months ago, on October 9th, 2013, my daughter, Abby Hernandez, was taken against her will. There was incredible support from not only the people of Conway, but the entire state of New Hampshire. And for that, I am eternally grateful. The letter Abby wrote to me proved that she is still alive. But you, the press, chose to focus on only one aspect of that letter. And because of your actions, people turned on our family. and on Abby herself. They stopped looking. They stopped caring. Abby has been missing for 7 months, and I am asking you to keep writing about her. Please keep talking about her, because if one person hears it, that might help bring her home.
After losing his temper, Kibbe leaves Abby in the shipping container.
Kibbe! Kibbe, please!
She grips her neck collar in pain as the lights go out. Sitting at his computer table, Kibbe surfs his prostitution website. In the container, Abby holds her ears. Kibbe clicks on a platinum blonde's profile named Angelica. His mouse hovers over the Call Now button. Clicking on it, he then types on his laptop keyboard. Suddenly, he slams his laptop closed. Tapping his fingers on the desk, he grabs a fistful of fake bills from the table, stuffs them in his back pocket, and heads out. On another day, in Kibbe's living room...
I'm just saying it doesn't have to be one or the other. I believe in God. I believe in a higher power, but that doesn't mean evolution can't exist too.
What if that was part of God's design?
Faith and science can coexist, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
We can agree on that.
On the chessboard on a coffee table, Abby moves one of her pieces.
I still can't figure you out with this game. How long have we been playing this?
What's the date?
July 20th.
It's July?
I can't tell if you're baiting me.
Kibbe studies the board.
I see what you did there. But I bet you didn't see this. Don't underestimate me, Abby. A lot of people make that mistake.
Same.
Countering his move, Abby takes one of his pieces.
Queen to King 7.
Kibbe's jaw tightens. Standing up, he upends the chessboard. He sits back down on the couch as Abby begins retrieving the pieces from the floor. Kibbe picks up his phone.
Hello?
You piece of garbage! You paid me with counterfeit money!
Who's this?
You know damn well who this is. It's Tammy, you piece of crap! I've been busted for using the money that you paid me. I'm telling the police everything. They know where you live. They're coming for you. You're finished.
Kibbe looks over at Abby, still on her knees.
What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? God! No, 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 no. They're coming. She's not bluffing. They'll search everything. Okay, Abby, here's what we're gonna do. We are gonna clean everything. We are gonna sanitize this entire place. Do you understand? The kitchen, the bedroom, the living room, the shipping container, everything. We cannot leave one cent of your DNA on this property. Do you understand?
And then what?
What do you mean, and then what?
Where are you gonna take me?
I don't know.
Kibbe, I've done everything you've asked.
Abby! I can't, you know this.
Kibbe, please.
Come on, no, come here. Okay. We have to clean. We have to clean. Come on, we have to start cleaning as soon as we can. Come on, come on.
Kibbe
come on,
burns come on. Stuff outside.
There can't be an ounce of DNA anywhere. Nothing.
He pulls out Abby's mattress.
Nothing can be traced back to me.
As Kibbe lifts up the living room area rug, he quickly removes Abby's collar. As Kibbe frantically tosses his clothes into an oil can serving as a fire pit outside, Abby works to clean the bathroom. Sitting on the toilet, she reaches up for one of her ears. Still wearing rubber gloves, she tugs on the earring, ripping it out. Wincing, she then places the earring on the floor. Standing back up, she continues scrubbing around the sink. July 20th, 2014. 284 days. Kibbe hands Abby clothes.
These are the same clothes you were wearing when I... just put them on.
Abby takes her multicolored sweater.
What then?
Kibbe looks at her, slowly tilting his head. Abby reaches out, taking him by his right hand. Kibby's eyes begin to fill with tears as they sit together on the couch.
I'm sorry, Abby. I'm sorry for doing this to you. I'm sorry for ruining your life.
Abby once again reaches for his hand.
Please forgive me. Please don't hate me for this.
Kibby leans forward and buries his face in Abby's chest.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Outside, it's dark as Kibby drives, holding his Glock.
Where are we going?
Kibby pulls out onto a deserted road.
Kibby, please.
Shut up!
Pike Road. Are we in Conway? You said you took me to another state.
I lied. Sue me.
I kept all my promises to you. I kept all of my promises to you.
Shut up!
Let me go.
Shut up! Stop it! Stop it!
Kibby pulls over.
Life doesn't work that way, okay? I can't go to jail.
You've been misunderstood your whole life. No one has ever taken you seriously. No one has ever listened to you except me. Kibby, please. Someplace where it'll be found. I want my mom and dad to have closure. Please, please promise me.
Abby gives Kibby a tearful look before softly opening her door. Kibby's chest heaves as Abby climbs out and onto the grass at the side of the road. Abby looks back at Kibby, who begins to sob. He then slams the car into gear and drives away. Abby begins running down the road. Slowing to a walk next to a field, Abby looks up into the dark night sky, pressing her hands in a prayer position against her chest. She then carries on walking. Meanwhile, at home, Xenia quietly washes dishes in the sink. Outside, Abby slowly approaches the house where Xenia's minivan is parked. Stepping up to the porch, Abby moves to the front door. Finding her keys, Abby unlocks the door. Abby steps inside and looks around.
Hello?
Standing at the sink, Xenia freezes, slowly turning her head.
What's that?
Walking towards the hallway, she looks around the corner and spots her daughter.
Oh my God.
They run into each other's arms. Later, police cars surround Kibby's trailer. On a bright summer's day, a van drives down a rural road passing through forested valleys and farm fields. With Xenia at the wheel, Abby leans her head out the window, smiling as the breeze blows softly on her face. Later, they park at the same farm field Kibby had driven Abby to earlier.
Despite being so afraid and the horrible things Kibby did to me, I knew my only chance of survival was to make Kibby see me as a person, not an object.
Abby walks out into the pasture.
In an odd way, I began to see him in that way too, which is why he believed we were friends. God was with me. I know that. So was the love for my mom, my dad, my friends, and my family, who I knew were out there praying for me every day. When I returned to the valley where Kibby took me, I was told that the people there couldn't remember a horse like the one I described. Angels come in all forms.
Xenia holds Abby close. Text: Nate Kibby is now serving a 45-year sentence in a federal prison for rape, kidnapping, and other charges. Xenia remains thankful to the countless people who prayed for Abby's return and never gave up on her. Abby has a 3-year-old son and followed her dream of becoming a hairdresser. She's happy.
Girl in the Shed, the kidnapping of Abby Hernandez.
Abby Hernandez, Lindsay Navarro, Felix, Nate Kibby, Ben Savage, Xenia Hernandez, Erica Durantz. Casting by Judy Lee. Production designer, Heather Coots. Director of photography, Mike Cam. Edited by Devin Taylor. Music by Kevin Blumenfeld. Supervising producer, Oliver DeCagney. Executive producer, Stacey Mandelberg. Executive producers, Elizabeth Smart, Abigail Hernandez, Michael Vickerman. Produced by Navid Sufi. Written by Michael Vickerman. Directed by Jessica Harmon. Tess Marin, Carmela Sisson, Detective Emily Sadler, Bethany Brown, Liz, Claudia Kai, Officer Daniels, Jason DeLine, Officer Babcock, Leo Chiang, Zach, Miles Mary, Detective Jacob Dunlap, Matthew Kevin Anderson, Miranda, Maddie Hillis, Agent Carrera, Byron Lawson, Mary, Morella Gibeau, Stunt Coordinator, Bruce Crawford, Associate Producers, Thomas Stanford, Grant O'Kane. Production Managers, Navid Sufi, Darren Robson. Set Decorator, Rusty Ross. On-set Dresser, Clara Salome. Props Master, Ksenia Leontiva. Hairstylist, Selena Taylor. Makeup, Kathleen Falstone. Costume Designer, Jaden Devine. Set Supervisor, Matthew Passarelli. Gaffer, Pierre Cruz. Best Boy Electric, Sepher Mabop. Location Manager, Celeste Crow. Production Sound Mixer, Emilia Sainz Solar. Boom Operator, Elsie Dag Doug Shamelis. Production Coordinator, Jeff Demeray. Special Effects Coordinator, W. Peter Vandergrint. Post-Production Supervisor, Leah Myers. Post-Production Coordinator, Tim Spence. Sound Facilities provided by Maverick Post Group. Supervising Sound Editor, Gregor Phillips. Logos, UBCP, DGC. 2021 Sprott Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. Logo, Johnson Production Group.